We're all marching toward the cemetery, goes the old line. Life is short. Play hard, says someone else. Is the threat of mortality a burden hanging over us? Many people feel weighed down, convinced that things end at the funeral parlor. Does Calvary provide an answer? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello and welcome to our Wednesday program here on the Voice of Prophecy. I'm Kenneth Richards, thanking each of you for joining us today. Our week-long series title is this, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, and we're giving away the perfect companion book entitled More Than Amazing Grace by David and Lonnie. We'd like to mail you a copy absolutely free, so be ready with your pen or pencil in just a few minutes. First, though, let's open up our Bibles with Lonnie for today's study. Give me more tomorrows.
Just a few weeks ago, I was hit with a reminder that life here on planet Earth is a very fleeting thing. At a rally for some of the key supporters of this radio ministry, I ran into a friend of mine named Floyd. I'd seen him just a few months earlier, and everything was great. He and his wife were retired, but young retired. The family was financially secure, and they're huge supporters of God's work, the Voice of Prophecy, and many other causes. Being retired, why, they could drop anything and give a month here and a month there, volunteering for important spiritual projects. I mean, these people were two of God's greatest jewels. And all at once, when I saw him, I realized that something was wrong. Floyd had no hair. I mean, none. And you could tell this wasn't a fashion statement. It was chemotherapy. Cancer had hit like an assassin's bullet, and the prognosis was anybody's guess. By all accounts, it was a very serious situation. What do we do with the realization that, as one philosopher put it, we're all marching toward the cemetery? Seems like just a few weeks ago, doesn't it, that we put away the Christmas decorations? And here it is, August 6 already. Summer's about over. Fall will go by in a flash, and the malls will be hollied up again. Those of us who are in the 50-plus age category will feel that little stunning jolt of reality. Wow, another year's gone. And this one went by more quickly than all the others. The planet's spinning faster and faster. The calendar pages are being torn off with increasing rapidity. And for each of us, there's one day less of life to go. For so many people, the passage of time is a burden, a mental and emotional weight they can't lay aside. Why is life so brief? There's so much we'd like to do, so many things to accomplish, so many friendships to treasure. But we can look down the road and know that a funeral is going to cut it all short. The fact of our mortality is like a cloud always out there. We can look back in the history books and discover that the very first electric chair execution happened on this date in the year 1890. A man named William Kemmler was put to death for the crime of killing his common-law wife with a hatchet. Well, maybe we're not too regretful about that, but think of how this prison inmate must have counted the days before he would sit down in the hot seat. What a burden to know that life was going to end in 5 days and then four and then three. I wonder again, can we find any real comfort in the words to our theme song for this week, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary? But how about this burden, the weight of our mortality? Speaking of executions, does the cross of Jesus, does the execution of this other man, citizen of Nazareth, dating way back to 31 A.D., have the power to erase our cemetery claustrophobia? Here's another anniversary. Do you remember that Hiroshima also happened on this date, August 6, 1945? 205,000 people wiped out in one mushroom cloud, one atomic moment. So much potential snuffed out, so many dreams unfulfilled, so many relationships aborted on that one tragic day. And you think about the burden carried by surviving relatives, many of whom I'm sure were Christians. The following weekend at church, did they sing, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary? A few months ago, when the Voice of Prophecy wrapped up a 4-month trip through the book of 1 Corinthians, we really stopped to rejoice at chapter 15, which talks about the resurrection. I hope many of you were with us for that. Because this eloquent, powerful Bible passage written by Paul makes it crystal clear that the resurrection and Calvary are forever linked. You and I and our loved ones can be absolutely confident, completely assured of a life beyond this life because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. One sentence says it all. Verse 20, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." That's reality. That's the victory of Calvary. But now what follows? I'm quoting, "Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Then in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Let me tell you something, friend. I don't enjoy funerals, and as a Christian pastor, I've done my share of them. Even now, with my responsibilities here on the radio, I'm often called to perform this service for friends, and we shed tears at funerals. It's tough to say goodbye. But a Christian funeral is not the hopeless, despairing end that it is for so many others. We weep, but we weep in quiet, trusting confidence that we're going to see this person again. I like how Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Maybe he'd just been to a funeral. Who knows? "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." You know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, never considered death and cemeteries to be great burdens. There's a story in Luke 8 where a man named Jairus wanted Jesus to come heal his sick daughter. Code blue, she was desperately ill. But as they were heading to her house, a message came, "Don't bother, she's already dead." Well, you know, from a human perspective, you'd stop walking, trips over. And I'm sure the dad and other relatives and friends considered that tragic, premature death to be a great burden. That sweet little girl, gone. What a waste. How unfair. How could they ever laugh again, ever smile? That messenger had delivered a blockbuster burden, and the tears began to flow. But you know, that girl's death wasn't a burden to Jesus. He didn't stop walking. He didn't do a U-turn and go to some other errand. He kept right on to that house, and he raised up that little girl to life, and he lifted that burden. In a way, really, it was the Calvary yet to come that gave Jesus the right to perform that resurrection ahead of time. Burdens were indeed lifted at Calvary. It's the same thing with the story of Lazarus over in John chapter 11. Remember? Jesus dilly-dallied and took his time getting to Bethany where his friend was sick, and by the time he got there, why, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. What a burden that tragedy was to Mary and Martha. They were in tears, broken-hearted. Their lives were shattered with the weight of having to carry on without their beloved brother. But you know, that death wasn't a burden to Jesus. Oh, he shed tears as well as he saw the pain in the hearts of his friends. But moments later, he lifted the burden by calling Lazarus out of that tomb. Friend, death doesn't have to be a burden, a terrifying specter waiting out there in our futures. Not when we have as our friend Jesus Christ, the King who triumphed over the tomb. But here's something more. We're weighed down, at least the world is, by that haunting fear of how short life is. We have so many things to do, so many fortunes to amass, so many dreams to accomplish, and there just aren't enough years. There's no way we can get to everything, try everything, live every dream. So many composers and inventors and visionaries and even grandmas who treasured those sweet moments with the grandkids have felt the burden of the ticking clock. That's why I love to read in the Bible that the gift of the resurrection is then linked with the guarantee of an eternal life following that resurrection. Let me say it again, an eternal life, forever, not 15 extra years, which is what King Hezekiah asked for and got in the book of 2 Kings, not even another 70 years, a second lifetime, which would be a huge gift in itself. But friend, you and I are promised a forever, a million years, a billion, a trillion, and we finally run out of names for it. But let's put it this way. For sure, the ticking clock will never tick again in the sense of reminding us of any limits on time. The Bible tells us this in a million different places, but I love the wonderful way we're told this right at the very end of the Bible. The resurrection has already happened, the devil and his angels, and all traces of sin are gone, which makes us feel safer already. That's one huge threat erased for all time. But then in chapter 21 of Revelation, a loud voice from heaven tells us this: "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Can you imagine that first day up there? You're standing next to the person you'd always treasured the most until death snatched them away. But now, they're back, in the flesh. In fact, it's brand new, resurrected, immortal flesh. Your sweetheart, your long-lost love, that child who died of leukemia, they never looked so good. You're almost breathless, giddy over the reunion. But then you realize with a gasp of joy that you never again have to worry about losing them. They never, ever will die again. They're not even going to get the sniffles or a runny nose ever again. The burden of worrying about goodbyes, of fretting about farewells, friend, that burden is lifted for all eternity. The condemning cloud of cut-off dates, of deadlines, of separations will be forever blown out of God's universe and out of our lives. Yes, friend, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Amen. What a beautiful promise that is. What a burden lifter. Friend, we'd like to mail each of you a thank you gift right now. It's entitled More Than Amazing Grace by David and Lonnie. David, by the way, also wrote all of this week's radio sermons. For your free copy of this marvelous book, write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 53055, Los Angeles 90053. That's Box 53055, Los Angeles 90053. Here's that book title again, More Than Amazing Grace. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. That's Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free, U.S. or Canada, at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now, here's Lonnie Malashenko.
Thanks, Ken. And thanks also, by the way, to our studio engineer, Armando Cordero. Tomorrow, we'll talk about guilt, another huge burden that Calvary needs to lift. We'll have a gripping story from the recent bestseller, Into Thin Air. Here's our Thursday title, Analyzing the Everest Rescue. Till then, this is Lonnie Malashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it is always true. Yes, God loves you. When the revival of 1858 reached Chicago, a young shoe salesman went to the Plymouth Congregational Church and asked if he might teach Sunday school. The superintendent said, "I'm sorry, young fellow. I have 16 teachers too many, but I'll put you on the waiting list." The young man said, "I want to do something now." "Well, start a class." "Well, how do I start a class?" "Well, get some boys off the street. Don't bring them here. Take them into the country. After a month, you'll have control of them. Then bring them here, and that will be your class." So he took them to a beach on Lake Michigan and taught them Bible verses and Bible games, and then he brought them to the Plymouth Congregational Church. The name of that young man was Dwight Lyman Moody, and that was the beginning of his ministry that lasted 40 years. Dwight L. Moody was instrumental in changing the life of F.B. Meyer, who was instrumental in converting Wilbur Chapman, who converted Billy Sunday. One of the many hundreds of thousands of converts brought in by Billy Sunday was a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. Maybe you've never heard of Mordecai Ham. Well, he was used of God to convert a young fellow by the name of Billy Graham to the faith. And the story goes on. This is Benchmark. Box 3838, Hollywood, 90078.